What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome in to the Brassery Media Podcast, the second of two flagship shows this week. It's Thursday, April 4th, 2024. What's going on? I'm Zach Haydorn. That's Tyler Sage. Tyler, can you feel it? We're a couple days away from WrestleMania. Feels like it out there. It does.
Yeah, can feel it.
Your dog is excited.
Risk outside. I know. I was hoping that they would calm down by the time they heard your voice through my AirPods and then freaked out. So probably the mail got delivered. And there it goes. But yeah, it's brisk outside where I am, where you are. It's going to be brisk Saturday and Sunday night. So there's probably, you know, all the lights, it probably doesn't affect the performers, but you know, this is the one downside. They've lucked out big time in all the New York. Is it the only other cold market they've had an outdoor event?
Yes.
WrestleMania?
Yes.
I think they've lucked out both times at that it wasn't too bad. So
yeah,
we'll see. It'd be interesting how that goes for everybody. But, you know, this time of year, it's what you – luck of the draw.
I was packing today, and it was like more NFL football game in November than it was than it was like nice spring event. Like last year was in LA. It was like paradise.
Yeah.
Beautiful stadium, warm weather, just absolute paradise. And this is going to be a little bit different.
See next year. They haven't announced next year yet, right? Usually it's the like right before.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised that we haven't gotten that announcement yet from WWE as to where it's going to be. I know Minneapolis is like a big rumor. That it might be there, but I believe that's enclosed stadium, right?
Yeah.
So they don't have to worry about that, but yeah, we'll see, man. But yeah, we're a couple days out. I'll be heading to Philadelphia tomorrow morning. I'll be catching Ring of Honor tomorrow night and NXT and WrestleMania, of course. So lots of content will be up all weekend long right here at Brassery Media on YouTube. We will also have plenty of coverage on our Substack page. You can follow us there, both. Subscribe to both right now. Subscribe to Brass Ring Media on YouTube, and you can hit the notification button so you know when we drop new content this weekend. Also, all of our written stuff is available on Substack. Just search Brass Ring Media Substack. There's free show reviews and columns and features that will be going up all weekend long. So you can check that out as well. If you want the full Brass Ring Media fix, become a member. We'd love to have you. Now's a great time to do that. Lots of stuff on the horizon. This weekend, we'll be doing PLE review shows for both nights of WrestleMania. So that'll be fun. And that's for our members. Our members get exclusive access to our PLE and pay-per-view review shows. They get full access to our newsletter, the paid and unpaid. They also get a free member-only podcast, which we'll be recording a little bit after this show today. Access to Discord and the membership Discord, where it's a blast there. Like, that's a reason to go and become a member, because it's fun. We talk wrestling. We talk sports. We talk lots about life and everything. It's a great place to hang. So $4 gets you access to it all. It's on Patreon, patreon.com/brassringmedia. We hope that you give us a shot. Join us there, and we'd love to have you. And we certainly do all we can to earn your business. You can hear this show as a podcast and as an audio show right after we're off the air. Wherever you get your podcasts, we're there. All of our live shows simulcast as audio show podcasts. You can subscribe for free to take us on the road with you, in the car, at the gym, grocery store, wherever. You can get this as a podcast as well. And as for the show today, guys, Super Chats are open. Helps us do what we do here at Brass Ring Media. If you want to ask a question or make a comment, we'll read it on the air and we'll address it on the air. Just drop a Super Chat contribution. Any little bit helps. We certainly appreciate it in advance. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hello to Dr. Ross in the live chat. Hello to Ryan, who's in the live chat, who wants a signed book this weekend. Man, I don't know. I don't know if I can pull that out soon, guys. I actually have a major update on that I can't share, but it's super exciting. Maybe next week at this time, we'll be able to share something. But Tyler,
just give him a piece of paper he can glue onto the front page.
Yes.
So you can say it's a signed book.
No, what I'm going to, you get that, Ryan, and then also I'll sign your arm, and then you've got to get that tattooed before the weekend is up. After Ring of Honor, you and I are both go, you know, and we'll get that squared away. All right. All right. Let's do this, man. WrestleMania, night two. If you missed our night one preview, it is on our channel right now. You can check it out. We almost went 2 hours previewing night one. And it's a busy night. I feel like collectively, night two is, I don't want to say a step down because it's got the big Cody Roman match. That's obviously going to take up a major chunk of people's memories of this night of WrestleMania. It's got Drew and Seth too. And then it's got kind of like some of like the other like lower card, lower tier stuff compared to night one, but we'll break it down. We'll break it down now here and see where things are at collectively. At least that's my take. Do you have any initial takes as to how night two plays versus night one at this point, given, you know, the fact that The Rock's on night two or night one and not on night two? Does that matter?
Yeah, I mean, he's certainly going to be present one way or the other on night two, right? Whether if they lose the main event, he'll be affecting Cody or Seth's match, I can only assume. So he'll be part of that, or the Bloodline rules will be in part, and he'll be very much part of the main event. So not a downgrade on that front for me. For like what you said, the big moments in this pay-per-view to me are the tag match, Drew's moment, I'm going to assume, spoiler alert. And then the Cody Roman match, right? Are like the three things I'm going to probably take away if I had to guess ahead of time. So I think from a moment standpoint, the Sundays have been kind of the Saturdays have been booked pretty heavily for like, hey, this is like something to maybe break somebody new into the business. And Sundays for like the regular watching fans is kind of the cadence I've noticed the last couple years with like Steve Austin in the main event. Maybe, you know, the tag match is always fun, so maybe not as much an example, obviously, The Rock this year. So, but the big story comes out on Sunday night in the main event. So that's what I would expect again this time.
Yeah. I think that's on point. I think the card collectively kind of shapes up that way and kind of proves your point. This is what it looks like. Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes for the WWE Undisputed Universal Championship. That is the main event. Then we've got Seth Rollins defending his World Heavyweight Championship against Drew McIntyre. We have a Philadelphia street fight, Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits against Karrion Kross and Authors of Pain. Io Sky defends the WWE Women's Championship against Bayley. And then the United States Championship is on the line as well. Logan Paul versus Kevin Owens versus Randy Orton, followed by LA Knight versus AJ Styles in a singles match. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six matches, you know, so not like devastating in terms of length. It's so hard to believe that like they used to have like 14 matches on one night of WrestleMania. Like, my God, like it's crazy. Crazy, man. Crazy.
You'll have to wait till April 21st for that kind of shit.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'll be at Ring of Honor on Friday, so that's probably like a 5-hour affair, right? I mean,
yeah, if
Tony Khan lives up to expectations.
Yeah.
yeah. So, you know, I think on both these nights, I'm expecting some kind of like surprise thing. You know, you had the Shane stuff last year. You had Snoop was involved. Pat McAfee did like a run-in thing last year. So my guess is we get something like that. Hopefully it's not Pat McAfee, but you get what I'm saying. I think that there'll be some filler there too. But you know, six matches, that's good. I think that's a sweet spot for something like this. So, yeah, let's get into it, man. Let's start with that, that kind of grudge match, LA Knight versus AJ Styles. You wrote about this match a little bit in your Heat Index column on our Brass Ring Media Substack for members. Members can check that out right now by going to Patreon, patreon.com/BrassRingMedia. Tyler, what do you make of this? What do you make of this match? I've got mixed feelings, but I'll throw to you first.
Yeah, I'd say of everything, this probably gets a little bit more flushed out on Friday and maybe a Bayley promo to like why she should win the title. Are those the only things that like continue to need a little bit of flushing out on the story?
Yeah.
So I think those are both a little incomplete, but both in the same trajectory of like not very anticipated. Like at least the street fight will be like a fun match live for you and like, you know, tables and all that fun stuff. So Yeah, this is what it is. It's good for LA Knight. He got one of the very few singles matches that is not, you know, for a title or versus your brother. Is it the only one on these cards?
Let me think here. Yeah. You got the brother versus brother match. You've got
the three-way for the title. You got the other singles for the, you know, for the Intercontinental, and both world titles are singles matches.
Right, right. But yeah, this is the only other non-title. Yeah, non-title
singles match. So it's like either your brother or LA Knight and AJ Styles. So there's something to be said there of where Knight is positioned in the company. So I'm going to take that as a positive of like there will be, because like he's a guy you need, especially as like your second baby face on a show. Let's say if Cody goes over there to team up with Cody, talk, all that stuff is very, very important. So I think building him up in the right way is good. And, you know, one more good promo from LA Knight to set this. And of course him to then get the win, hopefully a good match, I think is fine, but that's a lot of maybes and ifs, right? So as of right now, where it stands, not super bullish on this from as a storyline. It is kind of the inverse. I know he's not talking about his wife or whatever, but it reminds me of the Samoa Joe, AJ Styles feud, you know, talking about Wendy. And that was an utter disaster.
Wendy.
Not like quite like that, but it's kind of that, like, come on, I know you're not this much of a bad guy. I don't buy it. And that's more the issue for me. The AJ Styles, like, hey, it's time for me to play heel. Like, when it's an Ellsworth and Moxley or Ambrose thing, that works as that type of heel. But as this type of heel, I don't know. But he is, you know, swole is I'll get out. So good for him.
Dude, yeah, he very much is. It's insane. I'm with you on this. I'm with you on this match. Like, I think the positive framing of this is a singles match for LA Knight and AJ Styles, for that matter. Because trust me, there are previous iterations of WrestleMania where these two guys would be tossed in with Randy, Kevin Owens, and Logan Paul for a five-way, you know, whatever, for the U.S. Championship. So I'm glad that they have some of this undercard stuff that has a singles match. It's a grudge feud. I mean, they've checked the boxes here. It hasn't all been intriguing and it hasn't all worked, but you know, LA Knight had a really strong year. And I think the sizzle is kind of off, you know, at this point with him. But as you mentioned, he's still a guy that you're going to want to lean on him. He still gets top five babyface reactions on the show every week, you know? And even in a situation like, you know, maybe he gets drafted to Raw, you know, and he's going to, you know, you can put him against Drew McIntyre. If you keep him hot, he can be a babyface that challenges Drew. So this is an important match for him. In the ring, it's hard not to trust AJ Styles. I mean, he rarely has like a complete stinker out there. So I think this works in that regard. AJ as a heel, it's kind of like, I don't know that they could go there anymore because people like AJ. He's like this legacy pro wrestler now, not just in WWE, but he's like a legacy guy across all the fandoms. If you're a diehard AEW fan, like you like AJ Styles. Like if you're a Japan fan, same thing. Like if you just love indies, you know, he's been there too. He's like universally loved by all the fan bases. And
not scientists, I would say, but that's the only group.
Definitely not scientists. But I don't know if you could hate him. He's kind of like in Bryan Danielson territory where it's like, yeah, Bryan can play heel, but like nobody really buys it, you know? And I think AJ is getting in to be in that position here. So, I think LA Knight is going to take this because I think he needs that momentum. I think, you know, if you're just looking at it from a story perspective, he's the babyface. I don't know that this has enough juice to last past this. So you want to finish that and have the babyface win. So that's my prediction on that. Did you take LA Knight or did you take AJ?
I'm going to go with LA Knight as well. Again, like it's one of those matches where it's like kind of tally up the heel wins and the face wins. They like it to be kind of even for these kind of big shows, it seems. Yeah. So this is one that, you know, if it's like five face wins and two heel wins, by the time we get to this match, I could be like, well, you know, I'm not going to be surprised if AJ wins. That just means they're going to continue this, which is probably not ideal, but it doesn't entirely matter either, because AJ is going to do something underhanded to win. But I would say LA Knight, because I hope that they can both move on from here.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. But like, yeah, now that you bring it up, I mean, they do want to probably have some feuds that carry over to, like, I think it's Backlash, I want to say.
Is that in Saudi Arabia or is that?
Oh, wait, there may be a Saudi Arabia show. That's in France. Backlash is in France this year. So I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. But, I mean, I give this a thumbs up just because I think it's like a spot on the show that you want to have moving forward. Like the singles match, like the top a singles match on the show for a guy that's not in the title match. Like that's important. And I'm glad this is here in that regard.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's keep it moving. Let's talk about the United States Championship, Max. Logan Paul defending against Kevin Owens and Randy Orton. I like what they've done here. I do. I mean, Logan Paul, man, I know, like, I don't know what there is to say. Like, it's I think it's just impossible to kind of throw shade at that guy for how he is as a pro wrestler. Outside of the ring stuff, okay, that's obviously going to hit some different buttons. But, man, in the ring, I mean, he is a natural, as much as you're going to find a natural. The guy, he has swagger. He's good. There's a star power there. There's charisma. He can talk. And he can, you know, I'm sure, like, his matches are meticulously planned. But, hey, you don't get brownie points for calling in the ring. So they're regularly, like, good matches. The fact that this is a triple threat leads me to believe that Logan Paul is going to hang on to this title. My guess is Kevin Owens is the culprit and takes another WrestleMania loss here. But I just don't see him losing it in this way to either of these guys. I think if you were looking at like a singles match with KO or a singles match with Randy Orton, you could maybe convince yourself like, okay, they're going to, you know, give this big win to one of those guys, vanquish the evil Logan Paul. But I don't think that's going to happen at this point. I think WWE likes that belt is on him. I think they like that he carries it all around the damn world to wherever he is. I think they like that. I think they like the business partnership they have there. So I don't see this title going anywhere. I do see Logan Paul, you know, taking some sort of amazing RKO out of nowhere. So I'm not sure what it is yet. I haven't seen the stage. I haven't seen the ring set up. But my guess is, like, that's a social media moment that we get is some kind of spotty RKO. But I'm taking Logan Paul here. But overall, man, I think this is what they've done has been entertaining, and KO and Orton play it perfectly. They're good matches for each other and for Logan Paul. So I give this a thumbs up.
I do too. So I'm not gonna really delve into any of that what you just did, because I think we're pretty much in lockstep there, like what they've done. I'd say for the RKO, seems like, you know, like a springboard for Logan off the top rope, and then Randy catching him at the other side of the ropes would be pretty dope.
Ooh, yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Also, my prediction on the finish here, I'm sure you won't disagree if you're writing it up. It's probably Randy hits a RKO on Kevin Owens, and then Logan does something to scoop up and get the pin, right? So that's awesome. Yes. Also, besides the Firefly fun hat, well, that wasn't fine. Besides the Bugs on the Mat match at WrestleMania, does God, man, that's not a you know?
Why did you have to remind me of that, dude? Okay,
just say it, like
pause. Can you believe that they did that? I mean, I still can't. Like, they had the overall shot and like a just it was that may be like the lowest low point of WWE production was the Bugs on the table. That's saying something, considering we had selfie promos with like big block letters at one point. So I hated that so much. I really did.
Especially that Randy no-sold it, and he was like not scared of Bugs at all. And then he
was just like,
Yeah. Yeah. To have it like not mean anything is quite something too. Anyway, but besides that match, is there like a bad Randy Orton WrestleMania match? He's like an all-timer at WrestleMania matches. Like, him and Cody from, like, was that 29? No, that's like 27.
That's like 27. Like
Dash and Cody Rhodes. You got him and Seth at 31, I should say. Sorry.
CM Punk and him had a WrestleMania match.
Yep.
The main event. He had the Daniel Bryan triple threat.
I mean, like,
yeah.
and we're missing some in there, but like he doesn't really miss a lot of these WrestleMania matches. So that's a good sign. Also, from a interference standpoint, so what are the odds, you think? I haven't read anything. I know they're like fishing for celebrities. But what are the odds that Jake Paul and Mike Tyson are part of this? I ask you that. Mm-hmm. Is this a big stage? Do you know where that fight is taking place? Who's broadcasting that?
I would just no, I don't know. I would assume it's taking place in like Saudi Arabia or something. But
I don't know where it's taking place, but it's being broadcast on Netflix. So the synergy between WWE and mm-hmm. Netflix could start right there. And like, how awesome would it be if Jake Paul comes in and like cheats for his brother because it's a no DQ match, it's triple threat. Mike Tyson comes out and like slugs Logan instead of Jake, and Jake runs away. Whatever. Like, I think that this boxing match is more of a pro wrestling match than a real fight anyway. Yeah. So like, I think the odds of that are, you know, 10%, 15% that both would be there. But I think one of the two being there, like Jake being more likely to come in and like punch Randy Orton after he hits the RKO on Kevin Owens, and then Logan comes in and scoops it up. Like, I think that's pretty likely, and it's like a pretty fun way. And like, this is like dead in the middle of the card, I think. And this is like a good way to kind of reset everybody, get a huge moment, and then you have kind of a, you know, whatever match you want to have after that. But this is like the match before the, you know, this is the, if there's six, this is the fourth match on the card, in my opinion. So,
yeah, I think that's a possibility. I mean, definitely a possibility. I think if they're going to like do some kind of like Sylvester Stallone thing, you could see that like play mm-hmm. out here because yeah. of like the Philly Rocky connection. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think that's a possibility. And the Netflix tie-in is good. And like you said, I mean, they're not trying to present – I guess they're trying to present this boxing match as, like, an actual boxing fight mm-hmm. and sport. But they're failing so far. And at least if they do this, at least it'll be like, okay, it's officially entertainment, not sport at that point.
Yeah, but, unless they're worried about it, you know, not being approved by the fighting commission, wherever that's going to be. But, you can do this on a – yacht in the middle of international waters, and I think people would still watch it. So,
yeah, probably true. Unfortunately, we had somebody remind us in the chat, Dr. Ross. Thank you. Rock and Sock Connection versus Evolution at WrestleMania 20. Another Randy, another pretty decent outing from Randy Orton. So, yeah, thank you, Dr. Ross. And I do see your super chat in there. So we will get to that. And we also have some for Zach here too.
That's pretty crazy. I know he's missed a handful, but like, a guy that wrestled at WrestleMania 20. I know Rock is also there this time, but like consistently to wrestle 20 WrestleManias in a row, it's pretty impressive stuff.
Yeah, man. I mean, yeah, it really is. I mean, then like you think about like even like the, I didn't think about this till right now, but even that, like, what is one of the like better matches from the pandemic WrestleMania? I mean, you did that Edge thing, that like 40 minute mm-hmm. like, we don't know what else to do because it's the pandemic. And
yeah, if you take out all the grunting with no background noise to filter it out, I think that's way better. But yeah,
for sure. But it's like, you know, when I think about that show, I think of like the Undertaker match, I think of the Firefly Funhouse match, and then I think of that one. And that one, I probably won't ever watch it again because I don't ever want to watch wrestling that way anymore. But you know, you can always count on Randy Orton for big WrestleMania matches. So who are you taking in this Logan Paul triple threat?
I've got Logan as well, paired with the LA Knight thing. I think it doesn't have to happen immediately, but I feel like LA Knight, Logan Paul at SummerSlam is a big-time match you can build to.
Yeah.
Backlash, right? If that's going to be, you know, Logan's a big international star if you want to do it quicker. But yeah, I think that is a good trajectory. So to maintain that, and Randy and Kevin don't really need this title at this point. They can even feud after this because they're mad at each other, and I think that works with Kevin Owens and Randy both being pretty malleable characters at this point.
I agree. I think that's perfect. And then, you know, again, it opens up all opportunity for movement on the roster. You know, you want to reshuffle things, you can. But ultimately, I think they like Logan Paul holding that title. They think Paul Levesque likes that. So unless there's a really good reason to take it off him, I don't think they're going to do it. Super chats are open, guys. We do have some from Zach here. We've got one from Dr. Ross we're going to get to. Any contribution helps. So if you're listening live here on YouTube or on Twitter, help us out. We appreciate it. Thank you in advance. Okay, let's go to the street fight. It's a Philadelphia street fight. It's Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits against Karrion Kross and Authors of Pain. Boy, what do you say? What do you say about this one, Tyler? Go ahead, take it away first. Who you got and what's your analysis on how everything is shaking out with these guys?
Yeah, so this might be that in-between match I was talking about, this or the Bayley match. Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. It's a I just thrifted a Hurt Business shirt, so because of that.
No way.
So I like, you know, wrestling shirts are very valuable, so I like to collect kind of modern wrestling shirts and then put them in a bin. Hopefully they gain value, so that's a little fun fact for everybody. But so got a Hurt Business shirt, so I'm going to pick Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits in this. But, yeah, this is literally just a match. And, you know, when Karrion Kross, I mean, really the whole time in the company, I just would not have thought he would have had a WrestleMania match, period. So he proved me wrong. So there you go.
Good for you, Karrion Kross.
Because he hasn't had one before this, right? He was fired and then came back after last WrestleMania.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's not had one. I mean, and I'm with you. I'm taking this Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits here. This could be like, you know, a SmackDown, not even a SmackDown main event, to be frank. They, again, just like the LA Knight, AJ Styles, they've jumped through the hoops to make this feel like a feud, you know, like there's history there. They've been feuding for a long time. You know, they've cost each other matches. I mean, they've, you know, going back to like the angle at the Royal Rumble, which eliminated Bobby Lashley, like that's how far back this goes. I just don't think that they've really hit on making people care about this. Like Lashley's been like kind of this heel guy a little while, trying to make, you know, the Street Profits, you know, that group work. And then that didn't really work. So now they're baby faces against Karrion Kross, and Karrion Kross like habitually lukewarm at best. So yeah, it's a bit of a weird WrestleMania match, but I think they tried. This is your car crash match. I think this is, you know, this is going to go all around the outside of the ring. It's going to be like your car crash, you know, car crash match moment of night two, whereas you've got the ladder match on night one. I think this is going to serve that spot on the show. Bobby Lashley, Tyler, has had some pretty big WrestleMania spots. A couple years ago, he opened the show against Drew McIntyre and won the WWE Championship or retained the WWE Championship. So, you know, what does this signal to you, if anything, about him? I mean, are his days kind of in that type of match finished? And this is kind of what he's relegated to? I mean, he's older. He's in his mid-40s. So, you know, where are you at on him and kind of his trajectory over the last, you know, few WrestleManias?
Yeah, I mean, I see him and I guess AJ was never – I mean, he was at those heights, but AJ was more of a champion in the offseason, if you will, right? Like summer and fall kind of champion when he was there. But he's in that boat, right? Of, yeah, the aging legacy star who probably has a job as long as he wants it. But can he be heated up and become a world champion? Like, I wouldn't bet on it at this point. But, you know, I think him and AJ are in very similar spots. And if you look to Raw, you know, who's over there. I'm sure there's a comp over there as well that I can't think of off the top of my head. But, you know, it's just that spot. And if, you know, Chris Jericho was in WWE, I think he'd be in the same spot as well. And, you know, just like I think Lashley was more of a Vince guy than a Triple H guy. But not that Triple H hates him either, I don't think. It's just like different presentations and different what you're looking for out of your talent. So I just think it's in that spot, but, you know, could he, you know, main event pay-per-view as a heel challenger to a Cody if he was a heel? Yeah, absolutely. But that's where he is.
And I think that'd be that's a decent spot for him. Like, I don't think he's going to be a guy that kind of gets that signature title match spot at WrestleMania anymore. But, I mean, he could definitely be a pay-per-view PLE challenger to Cody or Drew. I think both of those work. So yeah, you know, but I think you're definitely seeing a guy here that's kind of fading into the background a little bit, and that happens. I mean, he wrestled Omos at WrestleMania 38. I don't think he had a WrestleMania 39 match. I think he was on the. I want to say he was injured, but yeah, I mean, I think that's what you're seeing here. So, and then Karrion Kross, I don't even think I need to ask, but this is his ceiling, right? I mean, at least that's where I have him. Like, this type of match at WrestleMania at this place on the card, I think this is kind of like anything more than this is like icing on the cake, given what we've seen so far. But I just don't think he's shown a propensity to be anything more than where he is right now. So I kind of suspect that, you know, if he's on the show again, it's probably going to be in a similar position.
Yeah, I think he's beyond what was your term, ceiling? Like, he's ceiling, broken through the ceiling, in my opinion. It's probably the ceiling for Triple H, because Triple H likes him a lot more than you and I do. And that's obvious with how many, you know, his NXT run, etc.
Right.
But, you know, and so that is what it is. But I think he, you know, Triple H has learned that it does not work on the main roster, and some people don't. And if, like, he were to go back to NXT, like, even this whole group after this, like, I think that'd be super fun. And they could be like wreck havoc down there. And, you know, I don't know if you're going to learn much wrestling AOP and Karrion Kross, but you'll at least be in a PLE against them if you have a babyface group. So that's good. But yeah, I mean, this is beyond the ceiling for me on Karrion Kross, but I'm one of his biggest detractors. So,
and rightfully so. I mean, he really hasn't shown much at all. So, if you're him, you're kind of like, all right, it's not bad. We'll take it. We'll take it. All right. So we're both going Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits here.
Yep.
All right. Io Sky versus Bayley for the WWE Women's Championship. Tyler, there just isn't much to speak of here, in my opinion. Like, you've got a feud going on between Damage Control and Bayley that, to me, I think has stood out more than, like, Bayley versus Io Sky for the title specifically. And that's like, even that's if you give credit to what the story they've told so far. Like, that's been there. I mean, you've had her, I mean, it seems like she's feuding more with Dakota Kai, you know, than she is Io Sky at this point. So it's very much like her old faction against her. I, even though Bayley was the one to kind of turn on her, on like the group, it still feels like she only turned because they didn't want to be friends with her anymore, right? And that's never like a good spot for a babyface to go. So I think she's just a little cold as a babyface right now. I don't think she has like a groundswell of momentum like Cody does to like finally win this title again and beat Io Sky. Io as champion, I think, has gone pretty well, all things considered, like in terms of like, they have a big story at WrestleMania. She's not somebody that I would have, you know, had in the back of my mind as somebody who's going to be in a singles championship match at WrestleMania. Like, clearly, I don't think she would have been if Vince McMahon would have been leading, you know, leading WWE. Triple H sees her differently. I think she's held her own here, but man, they needed more story between the two of them. I think they needed more story between her and Io. And I definitely think they needed more emphasis on Bayley and the title. We've got one more SmackDown left. That's still on the table. You can still hear, you know, and see the babyface go home promo from Bayley. I think she absolutely needs it. But this is a mid-card title match, and Bayley might win. I'll save my prediction. But even if she does, I don't think it's a, like, you know, a career-defining, like, WrestleMania moment that they play back. Just because it's just kind of a flat program going into the show. Match, I think, will be very good.
So here's my question to you. Just think of all the top women of this era, right? You've got, obviously, we're talking about Bayley, we've got Charlotte, we've got Sasha, we've got Becky, also we have Rhea, and we have Bianca, right? I think those are the top six women of this era. I'm not missing anybody. You know, Alexa Bliss had a run but is not there. Liv had a run, but is not there. EO, et cetera, right? So, am I, like, Can you think of a Bayley WrestleMania match off the top of your head?
No.
Yeah. Like, I can think of at least one or two for everybody else I just mentioned. Like, big time, huge matches. You know, Ronda, if she was still around and that worked out, she'd be in that cohort as well. And I can think of easily two for her off the top of my head. So, very strange. So, I'm just putting that out there. That is probably going to continue with this match, right? And this thing is like, besides Cody and Roman, is this the longest term story told going into this WrestleMania? Like, I think it is.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely is. I mean, if you take it all the way back to when Damage Control formed, like, that's 2 years ago now. they've been together. So,
yeah. So, like, it's been there and it's just like hasn't worked from whatever the performances, the writing, whatever. But, like, it's been given tons of time and time for you to care about it as a fan, but it just is not clicking. And yeah, it feels like more of a Dakota and Bayley thing than, you know, Bayley. It's like Bayley, Dakota, or Bayley, Damage Control, and then third would be Bayley and Io, right? Like that's right, the issue with this match. And, you know, the other match, like taking place the night before too, is weird that they're like all going to be available if Io needs them to help her against Bayley as well. So that's an interesting booking tactic, I think. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this is not working. I think it's a combination of, you know, I like what they've done with Io and Kairi and Shinsuke, right? Of like letting them talk their native language like they do in New Japan for the Gaijin, and then like, you know, have subtitles over it. But like, there is a certain limit to that unless you are an all-time worker like Kenny Omega and Will Ospreay and Jay White were in New Japan, right? Yeah. So, and Io's really talented, but you know, she's not one of the greatest talents of all time, right? She's good for this generation for sure, but it's just one of those things. Like, there's like a certain level to get over your character. And I don't think Bayley is helping that matter whatsoever either in that. Oh yeah, we should cheer for her because she left this group that she formed of evil people, and that mean girled her out of that. And there was just not like a good transition to her. Like, what was her transition to babyface? Because they were like talking about her behind her back in the locker room, right?
Right. That she heard him say, like, yeah, that they were going to jump her or something to that effect. Yeah. That's so, like, the precipice, yeah, right? Weak.
Yeah. So that's like why she's not over as a main character. Like, she didn't help. Who did Io face? You know, she didn't help Bianca after she got beat down, right? And get that rub. She isn't helping Jade and Bianca, right? Like, you almost want to have that match at Perth and then to get Bayley over helping those two. In being, you know, that even though that gets into some white savior territory, I don't think they want to get into. So maybe a good thing they didn't do that. But
your point still stands, like in terms of like how you even use her. We have a comment in the live chat from Dr. Ross about how the crowds have been chanting for her to come out as Damage Control is beating down certain other folks, and she doesn't come out, and like, so, I mean. It's just an interesting way to go about presenting her. Like, it's a slow. It was like a slow burn, a babyface turn, but without anything that like lit the match or anything of significance that like lit the match of like, okay, you know, with Drew, you know, he was like teasing heel, tease, and then he had that Punk promo after the Royal Rumble where it's like now he's really a bad guy, you know, and. Yeah. It didn't have to have that moment, but it was clear how you're supposed to feel. And Bayley, I mean, clearly she's the babyface here, but I don't think they've really defined that all that effectively to this point. Do you think we see like some kind of grand Bayley entrance with the Bayley buddies and like, you know, Triple H is like, damn it, Vince, like, you messed up Bayley when I handed her to you on a silver platter, and now we're going to get it right and like go back to like a more, maybe more mature version of that Bayley, but kind of like a callback to that era of her now that she's, you know, a baby face again. Is that in the cards, or do you think they're going to try to stay away from that?
I mean, I certainly hope so. I think you got to kind of do that if you want her to get over as a baby face. If not, you kind of almost have to have her like, I don't know. You don't want to have her lay down for Io, and it was all a long con.
Oh no!
A member finger control the whole time. Yeah. So like, those are like the two storyline options at this point. So Yeah, I mean, even if it's just for WrestleMania, and then like have a new shirt, you know, a new hugger shirt, you know, would be good. Yeah. And yeah, I think, you know, yeah. But
I predicted that from the beginning, so I'm gonna stick with that prediction. I think if you do that, Bayley's gonna win. So I think Bayley takes this. I think like it'd be really bad for her to not win here, and not overcome the odds, just for her as a babyface, really. Like I think it, you know, and plus Io Sky's had the belt for a while. She's again, I think she's delivered at like a not so much like in ring. I think she's always been good, but like I just didn't know what to make of her becoming champion and what kind of run she's had. And I think it's been on the higher end with Damage Control around her and Bayley there for a while to kind of talk for her. They've pivoted to the subtitles now, which I think is really good. So I think you've gotten more out of the Io Sky title reign than really I ever could have imagined. So I don't think it's a wrong here to, you know, to like to just say, all right, we're going with Bayley, you know, and I think that's what they do. So I'm taking Bayley.
I think your logic is sound. Just for some reason, I just think it's going to be EO. I think they're gonna if this is a continuation story. I brought up the Damage Control having the match the night before. I'm almost certain they're going to lose their match against Bianca and Jade. Yes. It'd be crazy if they didn't. Obviously, we predicted that on Tuesday, but they're available and, you know, rested from their match the previous night to come in and help EO win. And if that's the story you want to tell, I think you can do it here. Maybe you try and get Bayley some more sympathy as a result. Try and do like a little mini Cody finisher story thing where she's got to overcome this group that keeps cheating to win. But I don't know. I feel like EO's going to win. So okay. I'm going to go with her.
There we go. All right. Let's go Seth Rollins versus Drew McIntyre. For the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, Rollins wrestling his second match of WrestleMania. He'll be in the main event on night one, which we covered on Tuesday night show. You can check it out now right here on the channel. Yeah, like, Tyler, what do you think? Which way do you think this one goes? How do you think this is all come together, given the massive curveball that they had to face, both with you know, the pivot that they made with Rock and Cody, and also the pivot that they made with CM Punk.
Yeah, I think it's been good. Not the greatest story you could ever tell based on what you just said. But, you know, both have had an eye on this and an eye on something else, and it's bitten both of them in different situations. So I think they're even on where they are.
I love that, by the way. I love that you called that out the other week. Like, Drew getting distracted, just like he said Seth was for something outside of the match. Great stuff.
Well, just good heel. That's a good heel character work, right? To like call it out and then you do the exact thing that screws you over.
Yes.
And CM Punk's going to be here, right? He's going to be on commentary. You're going to think there's going to be a hope moment where he's jawing at CM Punk and Seth is able to hit, you know, a stomp as a result and get a near fall where you're like, oh, he did it again. He screwed himself over. Hopefully on commentary they put that over as well. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, you know, was this week's Raw a good go-home for this match? I don't really think so. Basically, just like if I have my Raws right, Seth walking out and then – yeah, because he fought Solo, right? That was the main event of this week's Raw? Yeah.
Yeah, he kind of crossed paths with him.
Yeah, and he was like, I'm not dead yet, and Drew, like, laughed. Like, you know, as, like, the final build for this thing, you know, that's not super ideal, but – you know, I don't think it needed much more. And there was the violence there with Rock. And that's more, you know, that needs to get more attention than Drew and Seth. So CM Punk, the star power there, the video package, I think will be pretty good to get you there when you watch this match. The main question I have is, when does this take place? Like, I don't think this can happen when the sun's out. So it's like a hard booking thing of like, do you have this back to back with Roman and Cody? Or do you have like the triple threat that we talked about earlier open? And then you have this in the fourth slot and then some match, you know, in between and then the main event. It's just like kind of a hard – I'm surprised both these are in this – I mean, I know they have to be on the same night because you have the tag match, but it's interesting.
For what it's worth, Meltzer's report says this is going on first. on night two. On night
two. I mean, that makes sense. It's just like the, you know, I don't know. Like, if I'm a performer, there's a difference between an outdoor show and being performing in the sun and performing when it's dark.
Yeah.
It just, in my mind, of like where you are on the card.
Yes.
And I think that makes a difference, but you know, it is what it is. This is just like when you look back at videos, there's very few in the sun except for WrestleMania 9 that make the cut, you know?
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, I don't know, like it stinks for Seth. Like you're in the main event storyline wise, like, you know, and then you got to wrestle like the first match of the next night. Like that's ice cold, Paul Levesque. But I get what you're saying. I think that they made, you know, lemonade out of lemons here. Like Drew, and a lot of that is on the shoulders of Drew McIntyre. I mean, really, truthfully, like if he's not as good as he was in this run, you know, post Royal Rumble in particular, I don't think this match like sticks the landing like at all without him. I mean, he's really been like the driving force of making this interesting. I also think it's kind of cool how they have, you know, this is not as directly tied to like the two main events, but it's close. I mean, they've intertwined the two together with Seth taking his eye off of Drew because he has his other main event going on, his other match going on. And I think that's an interesting way to kind of utilize the two nights. I mean, you're not going to be able to break this story out every year, but I think, you know, they did a good job of kind of connecting Seth's involvement in the Bloodline stuff to this in a way that I think is going to factor into the finish. Like, I really think they're going to complete that circle and have the fact that Seth, either he gets, you know, work injured, you know, the night before, or he's too beat up, or, you know, whatever, they do some spot where they're just working the knee or something like that, like in the match beforehand. And, you know, Drew takes full advantage of that and beats him because that, like, I think that they finished that sentence and they use that first match to like almost protect Seth, kind of like, not protect him because you're going to have him do a clean job. But if you take WrestleMania as one whole thing, both nights, that first match, that tag match, you know, impacts the second, the title match. And I think that they closed the loop on that. But yeah, this is very much on the shoulders of Drew. We'll get to that in a minute. I'm going to take Drew McIntyre here. I think it's, you got to go with him winning that title. He's just been too good. I mean, frankly, like, even if they didn't want to, I think like he's forced their hand because he's been too good. Obviously, this is all predicated on him signing a new deal, which we both have rolled our eyes at. I think he must have at this point, but I'm going with Drew McIntyre here.
Yeah. I like everything you're saying, especially, you know, night one to night two is like a two-part season finale of a 24-episode broadcast television series, you know, from back in the day. And this is like, you know, who shot JR sort of thing. I know that was season to season, right? So don't get me in the comments here, but sort of that thing of like, what's going to happen, you know, here. And, you know, I think it's almost impossible that The Rock does not come in here and hit a rock bottom on Seth and then Drew scoops it up. He won a lot of matches that way on his turn to a heel. And I think that would be a nice kind of, you know, rhythm to hit with him and his character. And that's, I think, if the Bloodline win or lose, honestly, on Monday night, because Rock has talked a lot about Cody, but he's talked a lot about Seth. You know, it's like 45-55. Like, it seems like his character's disdain for Seth is right on par there with Cody. If not, he might have like a little respect for Cody and no respect for Seth sort of thing. So it might be one of those things where you can, if you can set up multiple matches with Rock, you know, Seth and Rock and Cody and Rock, I think it's important to do that here. Protect Seth, and Drew can use that. And then whenever Seth wants to maybe go for it again, he can use that to his advantage to get a rematch as well. So
it's also a good way to remind people that Rock is a heel because of what's going to happen later in the show, like whatever happens, like if you don't want that to be the first time people see Rock, you know, coming out earlier in the show and costing another top babyface the title, a good way to remind people, like, yeah, I remember, you know, hate people, please hate him later. Thank you. You know, that kind of, that kind of psychology.
Yeah.
Do you think CM Punk gets involved physically here in any way or involved in the outcome or the finish?
Not physically. I think, like I said, I think you could do like a hope spot for Seth, where, you know, Drew's, you know, is, oh my God, losing the words, is distracted by CM Punk and Seth takes advantage and gets a near fall that is believable at the late stages of the match. But yeah, beyond that, I don't think so. It would seem like a, it'd be like a celebrity coming in and hitting a move on a wrestler with, you know, Punk's going to have that big, hilarious brace on his arm. So when you have that thing, it's like, come on, don't do anything with that on.
Yeah, exactly. I don't expect to see him do much here. Like, I think he's going to be on commentary. I think they want to have him around this. Gets him a little WrestleMania entrance or whatever you want to do. But yeah, it's not time. I don't think it's time for him to, like, you know, if he can't get involved physically, there's not much he can do. If he does get involved physically, it just looks bizarre because he's just, you know, he's like you said, he's got the brace on. He's just not, you know, physically imposing at all. Like, you know, in that way, opposite like a Drew or a Seth. So yeah, I don't think you get anything out of, like having him cost Seth or cost Drew. And also, frankly, like in storyline, he hates both of them. So why would you help? You know, why would you even get involved? Like, who are you trying to help? So yeah, I'm with you on this for sure. Azan is in the chat throwing some hooks our way. Low energy, three. There's lots of people listening, Azan. Lots of people, my friend. We thank you for being here. Cheers. Okay. Last but not least. Oh, actually, wait, one more thing. Do you think Seth Rollins, what kind of steam do you think he has, like, coming out of this? Because, man, he's going to do the job at WrestleMania. He's likely going to do the job in the tag match. He's going to lose to Drew McIntyre here. You know, not a great weekend for him as far as that goes. Like, as far as, like, in the canon of WWE. What's his upside? Where do you think he goes? Is it time off? I know there's been some reports indicating that he may take some time off, but, you know, what's his next step?
Yeah, time off seems like the right call. Also, you know, has he ever been a SmackDown guy? Like, ever?
Man, yeah. I think he was maybe at some point, but it was like short-lived.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, do you want to pair Cody and him forever if they're both on SmackDown? Probably not, but like definitely like a change of scenery if Raw gets a change of scenery or, you know, if he goes to SmackDown, I think that, you know, rejuvenates him and his character because I don't think a heel turn works. I mean, he's definitely modern day Big Show if he, you know, if you do that with him. I know that's really the only, it's like go away. Take time off, heel turn, or get three new people that can all work with him on Raw or put him on SmackDown. Beyond that, I think you're just doing a disservice to him because he is there all the time. And the problem with that is you've worked through everybody, and then it's like, okay, what are you doing? Is he taking on heel Chad Gable after Sami Zayn fights him?
Yeah.
You know, is he Gunther's first feud, and then he loses again, and then he goes away? You know, that's one thing you could do, I guess. To transition, but you know, it could be like a hey, he's gonna leave, you know, mid May or late May and come back for SummerSlam, right? Take a month or two off, and that could be like Gunther's first thing and have him lose there. And then you can search for things, get a big comeback, etc. So, yeah, I think there's lots to do with him, but making sure he's not going through the same people he's gone through the whole time.
Yeah, I agree,
obviously, important.
Yeah, it is. I mean, part of his thing is being there all the time. So it's like, you know, it'd be tough for him to kind of go away from that, at least at this point. I think a heel turn, is not the way to go. I think that the audience will tell you when it's time to go there with him. And I don't I don't think that they're there again. And he's turned a lot, you know, throughout his career. So, and this current babyface run doesn't seem like it's hanging on by a thread either. Like it's very, they're crowds into him still. So,
and he's always kind of turned babyface pretty naturally, like the way Drew turned heel, right? Of like, oh, he's getting a good reaction. Oh, people like saying burn it down. Oh, they kind of like doing the song, like all that stuff. And he is, you know, way better work. You know, his in-ring stuff is, he's made to be a babyface, right? Like him working heel
at this point.
Yeah. That's really more for like, what is he? Is he like 37?
37.
38?
Yep.
So, you know, that's like 5 years from now when he's like definitely down a gear to work heel more often. But, you know, if he can make that run for the next 3-4 years of him as a babyface, I think that's important.
Yep, agreed. Okay, last but not least, we got the main event, the big match, the big main event of the weekend. Roman Reigns defending the Undisputed Universal Championship against Cody Rhodes. It's their second match, one-on-one match together, second consecutive WrestleMania one-on-one main event together. Man, you know, like, if you grade this match, Tyler, on, like, just this match alone, I think you can see some holes in that, like, okay, you know, you haven't really had that go-home Cody promo on Roman specifically. Roman hasn't, you know, they've only had like one face-to-face, you know, throughout all of this build. Paul Heyman hasn't gotten involved too much from a talking perspective. But when you bring into it the tag match, which I think you should, because I think that's a key element to this, the whole thing certainly gets jacked up, you know, a few more levels. And so I think this is a really hot main event. I think this is a hot main event. I don't think it's quite as hot as the tag match, but I still think it's hot because people want to see Cody win the title. And I think WWE, and again, a year ago at this time, I was unsure if they'd be able to kind of keep this story going for a whole other year. And they have. And I think that honestly, like, you know, they're in a better spot now because they did that and they kind of risked it. I mean, they risked, you know, hey, like, man, Cody's hot now, but we're not going to keep it on Roman and we'll see what happens. You know, now I think that, you know, they have a year of this, they have a year of that, of more popularity for him. More people are watching the show than have in quite some time. He's been good for business. House show business is good on his shoulders. Like, you have the metrics now in addition to like the fan support to go, okay, like I think he's our guy. And I think people want to see him win the title. And I think they will. I think this is going to be like your big, like one of the better go home, send you home happy WrestleMania moments that we've had maybe in 10 years, maybe since WrestleMania 30. You know, this, I think, is going to stand on that kind of a, on that kind of a level by the time things are all said and done. I hope these guys have a really good match. I hope that they hope Roman opens it up a bit, you know, to do some more than he has in the last five matches that he's had that have all been very similar. I hope there's not too many run-ins. Like if they do the run-in thing and you have like a team of babyfaces that fend off the bloodline, I hope the match still gets, you know, another 5 minutes after that. I think you want to have Cody out there alone beating Roman in the end. So I hope that's taken into account, but all things in considered, this has been a, you know, if you like long-term storytelling, like this is it. And it comes to an end on Sunday. I think enjoy it while you can, because it's not easy to pull off. And I think it's going to be special. So I'm really looking forward to this as much as I am looking forward to the tag match. This may be the match of the night for me because, or the weekend, just because of the stakes and the story and the moment that can happen if Cody wins. So yeah, I'm high on this, and I think Cody takes it.
Yep. Do you think they took a risk or they took a Vince last year having Cody not win?
Both. Yeah. I mean, I did both. Honestly, like, yeah. Did you see Ariel Helwani's interview with Cody yesterday?
I didn't get a chance to listen to it yet. It's probably the docket after that.
So
I saw the things of him talking about like hoping for the best when like there was definitely not, this is not the original plan when Rock came back, all that stuff. But
well, yes, but he also said that last year, like, he didn't know the finish until, like, he got speared by Roman. Now, can you believe that? I don't know, but he was pretty much like, I can't talk about it. I don't want to talk about it, but, like, I didn't know much about what was going on. So Vince-ism, whatever, whatever reason it was, I think it's risky. It was risky not to go with Cody then, but it worked. I think it paid off. Yeah. In the end.
We're going down another lane. I don't believe that at all.
No, I don't either.
Punk is a guy who says, like, I hate peeking behind the curtain. Look at all this stuff, right? And then, yeah, Cody is a guy who's like, hey, kayfabe is life, and that's what he just did to everybody. Anyway, but on the
there's just no way. Yeah. Like, what is he like?
Be like, oh, I got speared and actually got pinned for 3 seconds. Like, get out of here.
Yeah,
that is crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like what they've done here. There's a 5% of me that is gonna absolutely love the chaos if Roman does pin Cody here. So just
some people want to watch the world burn.
I know there's a super chat by Zach that me and him agree on this. So, but yeah, I think Cody does win. I like what they do. You saw the interview with Roman. I don't know what it was on, but he's still taking the chemotherapy drugs. I know, mm-hmm. I know some people in my life that take those, and I can't imagine them, being a, you know, main eventing WrestleManias after that. So that is, like, crazy impressive that he is, like, actively on the – it's essentially, like, mini chemotherapy. So to be, like, wrestling at this level is insane.
And that's constant, right? Like, he's constantly on that?
It's like a pill every day, yeah. Or it depends what it is. Like, the person I know, they also had leukemia, and they take a pill every day that is, like, essentially that mini way to, like, suppress, you know, that happening again, hopefully, in their blood. So –
Yeah,
that's crazy. I think Cody wins. Everything you said, I pretty much agree with. Great long-term story. You know, I'm excited for when somebody does the Limp Bizkit song on top of the video package before this match to tie back to Rock and Austin. Is that WrestleMania X17?
That is one of my favorite, you know, one of my favorite of
the all-time. Yeah. One of the all-time video packages of all time. So, is that My Way or the Highway? Is that the song that plays?
My Way.
Yeah. So that playing on top of this. Someone do the edit, please, or we'll do it for our Patreon. It shouldn't be that hard. But yeah, I agree there. I know there's lots of super chats on this, so let's get to that. But we're both picking Cody. I think this is the end of a 2-year story. The story's finished. I would have liked a little bit more of that in the promo. I know everyone knows it, but it's a little AEW-ish by WWE to be like, oh, everyone knows that, like, Cody's trying to finish the story. Like, just to reiterate that, why it's important to him, et cetera. Like, The Rock is doing that by, you know, saying he wants his mom to see him this way. But I'd like Cody to reiterate why it's important to him and his family in a very down the middle, black and white, why this is important to him. But besides that, we can still have that Friday. So
that would be the main event segment for me, like, on Friday night. Like, you're going to get a lot of wrestling. I don't think you need a match in the main event. So I would put Cody in that ring with a microphone. That's it. And I would have him cut that promo. I mean, that would be how I send this thing home. So we'll see. We'll see what happens here. Zach, on the super chat says, I can't watch this show live, but I wanted to get my prediction on record that Roman beats Cody with the help of the Bloodline, possibly a new member. Now everyone go vote in the Discord. So real quick on the Discord, we're running a very interesting bracket tournament for television theme songs in the Discord, with all our members, you know, making their picks. It's been crazy fun. I don't know most of them. I look them up and I vote. And yes, but this is the kind of fun you can have as a member in our Discord community. So with that said, all right, you're on record, Zach. We have you on record. I mean, look, never say never after last year, for sure. Like, you know, never say never. It could easily go that way. I would disagree, though. I would just straight up disagree. I don't know what new member that you could possibly trot out that'd be worthy of, like, a WrestleMania debut like that. That's so significant enough to, like, make that a thing. It's one thing for Solo Sikoa to become a member at, like, Clash in the Castle, right, and interfere like that. But WrestleMania next to The Rock. I mean, I don't know. I don't know who that could be that would like check the box there. But yeah, I mean, I'm glad you got your opinion on record for sure. I disagree. I think it's going to go the other way. Tyler.
Yeah. It had to be like Seth. Somehow was convinced to lose, or Jay, you know, which would be not good.
I don't even think Jay, I think it has to be on the level of like John Moxley coming back or something like that to like help Roman or something. Like it has to be huge like that, for that to be a thing. Because, and even that would be weird. So I'm not advocating for that. I'm just saying like it has to be that big. Like it can't be Tama Tonga, for example. Like nobody knows who he is.
Who's not not related. Who's not actually related to them, I don't think. Even though isn't that Samoa related? Except for Samoa Joe. I know Samoa Joe is not related to anybody in that family.
Yes. But I don't know about Tama Tonga, but I know that there, you know, he's coming into the company at some point. So
He's not the guy for WrestleMania to like
be
the one that thwarts Cody.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. We also have, thank you, Zach. Appreciate it as always. We also have a super chat from Matt. Matt, thank you. Cody, Austin, Cena, Jay at one point square off with Roman, Rock, Solo, Jimmy. Beyond pumped for this weekend. Let's go. Thanks so much for the coverage. Thank you, Matt. Thanks for reading our stuff and listening to our stuff and watching our stuff. Appreciate it. It's a lot of run-ins in Matt's scenario there. Do you think we get Austin and Cena here? We kind of talked about this a little bit as far as the tag match goes. I would rather see it in the tag than here. Mm-hmm. But you know, I also kind of think like the Cena Austin truck thing is overblown. Like they've got pictures of guys all over those trucks. Yeah. So I don't know. I kind of like I didn't make anything of it when I first saw it. It seems like a weird Easter egg to me.
Yeah, I would agree, and I hope it doesn't happen. You know, if it does, I wouldn't be surprised, but I don't think it will. I think Triple H is aware that to have good long, you know, to be a new golden era, you have to stand on your own, right? Like Hulk Hogan did not come in and you know affect the outcome of Rock and Austin in the main event, you know. So obviously couldn't, but I don't think he would have either at that time if he was available. So
I 100% agree. I think you need this to stand alone. You can get away with it in the tag more so than you could in the main event just because it's a tag match and it's not like the big title match for Cody. So you can get away with it there. But yeah, I'm not advocating for it. I like the prediction though, Matt. I do, and I don't think you're completely out of left field with it either. All right, last but not least, we'll go to Dr. Ross. Over under on 4.5 title changes this weekend. This is fun. So, Tyler, what do you think? Are you taking the under?
I did tally marks. There's 7 titles on the line.
There are 13
matches.
Let's see. 2 tag titles, U.S. title, Intercontinental title, World. Both women's
world
and the other world. So there's 8.
Well, the tag titles, I guess they're split. To me, they're 1 because they're splitting them.
Is that 1 title change or 2?
If it's 2, it changes my answer. So if it's Okay. I'm over then.
And who
I've got what? Who wins? I think both world titles. Oh, go ahead.
Right. That's what I'm asking. Both world titles,
both tag titles, and then I think Sammy beats Gunther.
Okay.
I think that Io, Rhea, and Logan retain.
Okay. Yeah, I'm in the same boat, so I'm over too.
I also think Bayley and Gunther. Yeah, but you think Gunther's going to win? I think.
I think Sammy's going to win. Okay. So I'm just way over. Now I'm wishing that I'm not as over as I am because like that's a lot. But no, I'll stick with it.
And Dr. Ross is interesting to do the Money in the Bank thing here. We haven't talked about that at all. And it's like so under the radar that I think that'd be a crazy moment. to make it a triple threat, like in the middle of the match or something. But
yeah,
to take that away from Drew, and then you can have like Drew as like a pissed off heel taking on Priest. I don't know.
Taking on
Priest, that's interesting to me.
Babyface. Yeah, yeah, that could definitely work. I mean, they got to do it at some point. They only have a couple months left, so
yeah,
you know, yeah, yeah, good point, Dr. Ross.
Yeah, or after the match, so that could be six. You know, it could be Seth retains and then Priest comes out and pins him, so he gets the win. But
oh
then,
man, like, yeah, right.
Yeah, that'd be crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, this is one of those moments where I think you don't want this thing around anymore, you know, because like I don't think you want Damian to cash in and lose. That's not a good stigma.
Correct.
But you don't want you don't want him to cash in and win because he kind of is like not really in the mix right now.
Yeah.
So the Drew thing honestly could have pivoted this, to be frank, like could have changed. Yeah. You know, the trajectory, because that wasn't the initial plan. So
yeah, like Punk winning and then getting cashed in immediately is very Punk.
Yes,
in WWE.
Yeah, so. Yeah, right. I think that would have played better. So yeah. All right, you guys, we're gonna wrap it up there. We're gonna go record a member only show. So thank you for tuning in. Thanks to everybody who participated in the live chat. Thank you, Azan. Thank you, Dr. Ross. Thank you, Matt. Derek was in there. And others, appreciate you. Thanks to our super chatters. Thank you for that. We'll keep it locked here tonight. Robert Vios is back with another episode of Nocturnal Knockout. We're going to be tackling WrestleMania, of course, from his perspective. His shows have been very entertaining, so I encourage you guys to check that out. I'll be live all weekend at different points in time right here on the YouTube channel. The best way to catch that so you don't miss it is to become a subscriber to our channel. Hit the notification button so you know when we're live. That way you don't miss anything. Also, now's a great time to become a member. Patreon.com/BrassRingMedia. Members will get our post-WrestleMania review shows as well as other content all weekend long. Including the Discord community, which I'm sure will be very busy. Give us a shot. It's $4 a month. That's it. Just $4. Patreon.com/BrassRingMedia. Tyler, man, been a blast. We're done with WrestleMania. On to other things on the member show.
Yep. And then on post shows, but that's for Patreon only. So
that's right. Got to be members. Thank you, everybody. Appreciate it. And we'll catch you guys really, really soon. See ya.